So say, Lord Jesus, I have eyes that see.
I have ears that hear.
And my heart is perceiving.
You are talking to me.
Amen?
Amen.
And amen. So we're going to go to Psalms number 91. Psalms number 91. And I did hear it loud and clear.
It's one of my passwords.
You want a page number? 672. Okay. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand.
Amen.
Isn't that cool?
Yes.
No power. What have you got if you've got no power? You're vulnerable, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now it says, he who dwells in the secret place. Dwells means remain. It doesn't just hit it in and out. If you plug in that recharger on your phone and you do it for 30 seconds, pull the wire out, and you wonder why it's still on very low and your batteries are not functioning, you should know that with your phone. You should know it with battery chargers. The same with you. If you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, on whom I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. Now, normally I don't go to footnotes, but this time I am. It says, this psalm is credited to Moses, who is interceding with God to remove the curse which made it necessary for every Israelite over 20 years of age, when they rebelled against God at Kadesh Barnea, to die before they reach the promised land. How do you like them apples? Mm-hmm. Numbers 14, 26 through 35. Moses says most of them are dying at 70 years. This number has often been mistaken as a set span of life for all mankind. And I've heard that taught.
Mm-hmm.
You've got 70 or 80 years to get your act together.
Yeah.
I tell you, you've got 120 years in Genesis 6:3.
Amen.
Okay? But now, watch these numbers. It was not intended to refer to anyone except those Israelites under the curse. Whoa, isn't that good news? The curse during that particular 40 years. 70 years never has been the average span of life for humanity. When Jacob, the father of the 12 tribes, had reached 130 years, isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
Genesis 47:9, he complained that he had not yet attained to the years of his immediate ancestors.
So they were older.
Yeah. In fact, Moses himself lived to be 120 years. Aaron lived to 123 years. Miriam, several years older. Joshua 110, While in the millennium, a person dying at 100 will still be a child. Isaiah 65, verse 20. Now, that's a side note. That's to tell you that the diseases are killing Christians because their lights are low.
We have to plug in.
Yeah. Verse 3. For then he will deliver you from the snares of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. It says he will deliver you, not you delivering yourself. Mm-hmm. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and his faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. Then, verse 5, you shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor of the arrow, the evil plots and slander of the wicked that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor of the destruction and the sudden death that surprises and lays waste at noonday. Then, verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall wiggle around you, dance over your head for as long as you put up with it. That's my version. But it shall not come near you. Why? Because you're bright. And you're full of light. And your presence will zap them. Only a spectator shall you be. Yourself inaccessible in the secret place. Ha! Huh. Where are you?
Secret.
In the secret place. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Of the Most High, as you witness the reward of the wicked. Now, there's a good one. If you're wondering about the guys who can't stand your guts, and you've leaned on the Lord, you will actually watch the destruction of those who are against you. And I have witnessed that. I've seen that with my own two eyes, watched it with my ears as it took place. Understood it in my heart because the Lord gave me a dream to verify it and confirm it. And these were the very individuals that I had highly respected and lifted up. And the Lord told me when that test came that it was to show me that what I perceived from my understanding and my natural man was far less. Because I always looked at myself with a critical eye instead of a loving eye. A mistake that I made and I agreed with.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 9. Because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place, there shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near your tent. What's your tent? That's your body. For he will give his angels especially charge over you to accompany and defend and preserve you in all your ways of obedience and service. Isn't that awesome?
Mm-hmm.
His angels are working diligently with each one of us to get us to the finish line because of our obedience and our service, not to the neighborhood, but to each other first, and then to the neighbors. Verse 12. They shall bear up, they shall bear you up on their hands, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Now, I just want to park there for a minute. If you recall the temptation of Jesus, when Satan brought him to the height of where the temple was, he used that same scripture, didn't he? Mm-hmm. If you will worship me, why don't you just throw yourself down and his angels will come and they'll... And why? If he, our Savior, had to use the word to respond to the enemy, do we think we can respond out of our own thinking and get results? No. You had results last night with the Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. Because you were pounding home a truth. Mm. When you were pounding it home, your faith was getting deeper and deeper. Each step of the way, you were watching God's word at work, not just in you, but in the man you love. Mm-hmm. I share with you there were two signs today. My wife's hand on my knee was more a confirmation than any words that could have come out of her heart. Your hand on John's hand right now is the assurance that he's going to be okay. You see, because the Most High has become a dwelling place, and you can recharge on a regular basis, your battery never needs to go way down. It may, and you might get worn, but you will recover very quickly. Okay? And I'm not blaming anybody who has a war game, because I've had them. I'm not pushing people away because they've had war games or headaches or whatever. I've been there. Praise God, the grace and the favor of God have kept me. And I know that. And I'm very aware that there's a great deal ahead of me, just like there is a great deal ahead of each and every one of you. God didn't finish with any one of us yet. That's why I wanted to spell out that even in the old covenant, 120 years was not a problem. 130 was not a problem. And I don't want to die in the new covenant as a baby. Amen. In fact, I'm not planning on dying. I'm planning on living. Amen?
Amen.
And you know, when you plan to give fullness of life to your mortal body, this pleases the Lord. Because that's actually an opportunity for the Lord to show his goodness through you and through me. And when he's showing his goodness through us, we become a witness and a written letter for them to read. Agreed?
Agreed.
Agreed. So the angels shall bear you up on their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion, an adder, and the young lion, and the serpent shall you trample underfoot. Luke 10:9 confirms it. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he knows and understands my name, has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love and kindness, trust, and relies on me, knowing I will never forsake him. No, never. Because he has set his love upon me. Verse 15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Doesn't say you might have problems. It says you will have problems. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. This particular psalm speaks loud and clear about life. It really does. And it speaks about instructions that are very simple, not hard to understand. But I also can tell you that over these many years of giving this word through different individuals, that I've watched people use their own opinion to cancel what's written. When an opinion of a person is greater than the word and the opinion of our Savior, you've got trouble ahead. And when you have individuals that really want to tell God how to act and how to react, and how to live their own lives the way they choose, the arrogance is visible. And James 4:7 says, humble yourself before the Lord, resist the devil, and he has to flee. But God is against the proud. I've seen individuals that were blaming the enemy and not recognizing that the enemy was not their problem. It was God. God was on their case to straighten them out. But you know what? They were not hearing, because everything was the enemy's fault. They had no accountability about themselves being stuck in a place of pride, judging God, judging his people, judging their way of going forward, judging their righteous activity. And they judged and condemned and did it openly and publicly. And God dealt with these right in front of my eyes. Did I enjoy the sight? No, I wept. And I cried out, Lord, forgive them. They have no clue what they're doing. And the Lord said to me, because I wanted to go and I wanted to help. I would have liked to have a pair of new glasses for each one and a pair of real hearing aids so that they could really hear. And the Lord said they've already made up their minds. It would be totally wasted time. Your glasses would be no good. You giving them a hearing aid would not help them at all, because they've already made the decision. They're right and you're wrong. And they paid a horrible price.